everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place on your internet dial where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. I am so excited to be here today for this show. I have been doing this show for over a year now, and for those of you who have come along on this journey with me, I think it's just hard to believe that it's been a year of shows, and I think I've had one every single week except for a few holidays when I've played an encore so that I could take a few days off. But I am just really excited to be here today. And I don't know about you, but I have been following with interest the publication of Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki's new book called Why We Want You to Be Rich. And I have read two reviews of this book, one of them in USA Today and the other one in a magazine I can't remember the name of. But in both of them, whoever reviewed the book made the comment that this book is not a how-to book. In other words, the authors of this book don't tell you how to do anything. But I think it's really interesting what they do tell you in this book, and it sounds almost like a repeat of some of the things we talk about here on the Lifestyle CEO Show. For example, they talk about how the national debt is increasing, how oil prices are rising, how jobs are being exported, how we as Americans have displayed this sort of entitlement mentality, which they describe as a quote-unquote monster problem. And that got me to thinking about something, because I have not had a traditional 9-to-5 job for several years now. But I do remember when I did have one, and certainly talking with many friends and relatives who do have one, that there is almost this sort of idea that if I have a job, then I'm sort of entitled to that job. And there are certain things that I am entitled to, among them sort of maybe even a job for life or certain kinds of working conditions. Of course, there are federal laws that provide working conditions and minimum standards, and of course those are necessary to prevent abuses in the workplace. But other than that, there does seem to be this kind of attitude or mentality among people that, you know, the job is supposed to be this cushy place where, you know, I have all the flexibility in the world and I can go home and take care of my kids when I have to, and at the same time come back and expect everything to be the same. Well, I got to tell you, those days are, of course, behind us, or at least getting behind us. And apparently, this new book by Donald Trump and Robert Kiyosaki sort of emphasized that. It's nothing that we don't already know, but how many of us are actually doing anything about it? And that is where today's guest comes in. I am so excited to have for you Kim Gordon as our guest today. Kim, are you there?
I sure am. Hello.
Hi. It's really good to have you here.
Thank you, Donna Maria.
Kim, you guys, in case you don't know, and you really should know if you don't know, Kim is one of the country's foremost experts on the small business market. She is the president of National Marketing Federation Incorporated, which specializes in serving small and medium-sized businesses across the U.S. Through her Entrepreneur Magazine columns and online columns that appear on AOL and other major websites, she offers solid advice on growing a business, and lots of people pay attention to what this lady has to say. She is the author of many, many books. Her most recent one is called Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars, The Top 50 Ways to Grow Your Small Business, and Who Among Us Does Not Need to Know How to Maximize Our Marketing Dollars. Kim has shared her expertise in several broadcast and cable media outlets, including CNN, ABC World News. She's been featured in newspapers from the Los Angeles Times to the Washington Post, and also in numerous major magazines like Newsweek and Businessweek. She's also served as a spokesperson for major large brands, including Sprint and the Home Depot, offering interesting and innovative strategies to help those companies help their customers be more successful at marketing their businesses. Kim Gordon, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you, Donna Maria.
That was a short overview of all of the accomplishments, and it's so exciting to have you here and sort of bring all that together for the short time that we have together. Now, Kim, I have to say I'm so excited about your new book, But I have to say on a personal note that I am sitting here with a copy of what I think is your first book, Growing Your Home-Based Business.
Oh, wow, back in the early 90s. That is an archive piece.
No, but see, the beauty of this is that I started my first business in 1993. So all of you guys listening out there, I mean, if I'm telling you that Kim's 1992 book was helpful, then this 2003 one, it just goes even further to be of assistance. But I got to tell you, Kim, I dropped this book in water once.
Oh, no. Did it float?
I hung it on a clothesline to dry, and so the papers, like, they crumple when I turn them.
Oh, dear. And I think you have one of the only last copies. I know it's in libraries still, because there was Bringing Home the Business, which was after that, and there was an e-book, Big Marketing Ideas for Small Budgets, and then in 2006, this year, April was Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars. That's the fourth book. So I think Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars, you can get wet and you can still replace it because it's obviously for sale.
Well, I did have to search for this book when I did get it. It wherever I was looking at the time, it wasn't easy to find. But I'm so glad I did because the information that you offer in that book, and I have several of your subsequent ones, and spend quite a bit of time at your website. I read your column on Entrepreneur. And, you know, you have just been such an inspiration. And not only that, because lots of people are inspiring, but you also give people specific tips and strategies that they can use. In other words, it's not like just a cheerleading session.
No, I tend to be a real how-to writer. Exactly. Here are the six steps to doing something or the five steps to doing something else, because people don't, I don't think they necessarily always need a cheerleader. I mean, we have to wake up in the morning prepared to sell and be motivated and excited about our businesses, yet the main thing we need to know is how to do something. How do I literally win more clients or customers for my business? How do I increase sales? How do I get leads? What do I do to move my business forward? And that's what I address.
Well, and your books do a really great job at that. Let's go back a little bit, Kim, because all the Lifestyle CEO listeners out there have at one time sort of transitioned from a traditional 9-to-5 job to something of their own. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey in that area?
Certainly. I've been doing this for 28 years. I really started out in TV news very briefly, and I hated it and went right into marketing, where I've stayed for 28 years. I was on the agency side of things, became pretty successful as what I would call a rainmaker, the kind of person who brings business in, grows the agency, and was quite successful at growing one company from 18 to about 120 people, and then moved over to a $300 million agency where I spearheaded new business for that company. And then I went client side for a short while. In the marketing world, when you're in the agency side of things, client side is this whole different thing. It's where you work for a company and you handle only their marketing. And it was for a multi-billion dollar real estate group, and I was on the executive committee. And this was when I was in my early to mid-30s. And it was very unusual at that time for a young woman to be on the executive committee and vice president of a multi-billion dollar company. So when I did leave, it made some headlines, and those were not the headlines I expected, Donna Maria, which were, you know, that I was leaving to form my own consulting practice and I would be working with such and such type of clients. Instead, publications like Nation's Business Magazine and others focused on, gee, I was basing my business in my home, and they thought this was the most revolutionary and strange thing, that here was somebody who was leaving the executive committee of a multi-billion dollar company, and she was going to work from home. Was it really a job? Was she really even going to be working? And this was back in 1988.
Wow.
And so a little light bulb went off over my head because I got hundreds of letters from people saying, how do I do that? And
right.
So, you know, a marketer that I am, the light bulb went off over my head with all these people saying, how do I do that? And I said, well, I can help them do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can help them grow a business that they base in their homes. And then I became known as a small business / home-based business marketing expert or small business expert. And even though at the time we were not just working with home-based businesses, we were working primarily with other kinds of businesses that were not home-based, but then I started doing national tours for people like Visa and Office Depot and Sprint and those mm-hmm. kinds of companies to help them communicate with the small business market, putting my knowledge of the market, what people need to do in order to grow a small business, together with my background in TV news. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the business really took off, and I transitioned in the 2000s away from home-based to being known as a small business expert, because mm-hmm. now it's very common for people to be home-based. And as I drilled and drilled and drilled into, I hope everyone who read my books and my columns, is that there's no difference between running a home-based business and running any other small business except your location. Mm-hmm. And you need all the same activities that any other small business needs in order to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And so that sort of brings you up to date to where we are today.
Well, thank you for that. And it just highlights how smart I am to invite you to be a guest on the show, because I'm have always been so inspired, and to hear it sort of put into context like that, how you transitioned a couple of different times and reinvented yourself so that you could, as your life changed, you could alter your career choices and your work style to accommodate what was going on in your life at the time. And that's just, as you said, years ago, it was a whole new way of thinking. But today, do you agree that people really just need to be considering that more and more?
Considering that they can work anywhere?
Considering how to structure their work life or their income-producing life in a way that also allows them to incorporate the kind of lifestyle that they want.
That was a big focus of my second book, Bringing Home the Business, which mm-hmm. was about how to live and work successfully under the same roof. And I'm a major proponent of basically you can live and work anywhere you want. You don't have to. If you want to build a big company, chances are you don't need everybody all under your own roof. Nowadays, manufacturing is in one place, often China. Publicity and marketing are another place, accounting another, account service another. You might have a call center. It's very unlikely nowadays that a successful business comes up through a very centralized, hundreds of people sitting at their desks notion of a single building. And a lot of small business owners very pointedly do not want to build that kind of business. Most small business owners like being small business owners, and they've gotten very successful by having a small group of people either work for them in one area or having a dispersed group of people working and living however and wherever they like. I, for example, was able to make the transition after almost 25 years in Washington, D.C. to a small island off Key West 3 years ago. So I'm effectively talking to you from a small island. There's water on one side. I look out the other side. There's water on the other side. And this is my choice. And yet my business has never been bigger. We have coaches throughout the United States, and we provide coaching. For those of you who don't know, we provide marketing coaching by telephone to small businesses all over the country.
I understand you were one of the first consultants to use the telephone to do that.
Yes, we were. We launched that in 1991. And people were very, unsure of how all that would work back then, before the Internet, before we got used to more long-distance relationships with people.
Right, right. Well, that's just absolutely inspiring. We're going to come back and get into some of the nuts and bolts from your new book, Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars, and get some of your tips and really your take, too, Kim, on what it is that you think are the biggest challenges for facing small businesses today. We're going to come back from a short break and take those topics up with our expert guest today, Kim Gordon. In the meantime, we're just going to take a short break here. We'll be right back.
why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and we are here today with Kim Gordon, small business marketing expert and the author of Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars, her new book, just released this year, The Top 50 Ways to Grow Your Small Business. And before we took our break, Kim sort of brought us up to date on her journey to being an expert in these areas. And Kim, I just want to pick your brain for a minute or two. Have you talked to thousands of people through your columns and
yes.
in your telephone coaching sessions and your books and otherwise? What are you seeing as the top two or three challenges that are facing small businesses today? And particularly if you've noticed any challenges that specifically face women.
Well, I think there are two very big challenges, Donna Maria. They're time and money. Basically, when you're running a small business, time is probably your most precious commodity. You're always either out of it or in need of it. If there were a bank we could go to and make a loan of time, it would be the most popular bank on the planet, because we all know in our heart of hearts that in order to grow our businesses, we have to market our businesses. Yet the main thing I hear over and over again is that I just don't have time to market my business. Well, in the most successful businesses in the country with sales of $1 million or less, now these are very small businesses, the CEOs and presidents spend an average of 40% of their time every week in sales and marketing. If you're not spending at least 40% of your time year in, year out, day in, day out on marketing, you're missing out on opportunities. Now, if you've got a very new business, you might be spending 60% or more in sales and marketing, because it's absolutely essential to wake up every day and ask for the business. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I don't have enough money to afford a marketing program. That's the second challenge. Well, what I can tell you is I promise you that there is a tactic to suit every budget or non-budget out there. And they are in my book, and they are real. For example, you don't have to spend millions of dollars on a national TV campaign. Maybe you'd like to, but let's say that's not possible for you. You can use media relations instead. You can partner. You can use buzz marketing. You can use sales letters. There are lots of free or close to free tactics that you can use. The idea is to set up a marketing program that you can manage year-round that has a combination of sales and marketing tactics. Now, here's the key, Donna Maria, that reach out to your prospects wherever they are in the sales cycle. You don't want to be a Susie One Note. I was going to say a Johnny One Note, but you said particularly for women. Well, particularly for women, for example, some women love networking, and that's a sales tactic, but it's a soft sales tactic. And they'll network like crazy. They'll go to four or five meetings a week and spend lots and lots of time networking, and they will get some business from it. It is a good technique, a good tactic, if you're networking in the right places with the right people and you're doing it properly.
Right.
Yet they will completely neglect marketing. You know, sales is a very time-intensive endeavor. Time is money. Marketing exists only to support sales. And so if you don't have a marketing program supporting your sales efforts, you're going to be spending a huge amount of your time in what you think is marketing but is really sales. Sales is the one-on-one stuff.
Okay.
The calls, the meetings, the networking, the appointments, anything that puts you one-on-one with a prospect is selling.
Mm-hmm.
And marketing is what's done that reaches out without your presence to touch a prospect. And that
okay.
can be anything from a referral campaign to online advertising to cable TV to place-based marketing or cataloging, anything that magazine advertising, anything that reaches out and touches a prospect. Now, marketing, if done effectively, actually warms up the waters so that when you are face-to-face with that prospect, you should have an easier time of closing. That's why marketing exists, to support sales.
Mm-hmm,
now, at
mm-hmm.
any one time, you have prospects throughout your sales cycle. Some are cold, they hardly know anything about you. Some are warm, you've touched them numerous times over a period of months,
mm-hmm.
perhaps. And some are hot, they've come to you by way of referral, or you've moved them through your sales cycle. Different tactics will be correct at different times. So you don't want to be someone who just does all networking or all direct mail or all media relations or, you see what I'm saying, or all cinema advertising, which I talk about in the book. It has to be the right tactics to reach people as they're cold, warm, hot, as you move them through the sales cycle. And you need
mm-hmm.
a program that reaches out at least every month, preferably
mm-hmm.
every other week. But if you aren't touching your prospects at least once a month, 12 times mm-hmm. a year, through a combination of sales and marketing, then
mm-hmm.
your competitors surely are, and you won't win business, you won't build your business.
Is one of the ways that a business with a very small budget, or as you mentioned earlier, no budget, can do this, is by something like a blog or an email newsletter?
It depends on the kind of business and what you have to say. So, for example, I do believe that just about every business of every kind needs a great website.
Okay.
But let's say you own a dry cleaner. You don't need the same kind of a website as somebody who's trying to sell window coverings on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have a small retail location that's outlet that's driven by location, like a dry cleaner's or a convenience store or something
mm-hmm.
like, or a small gift shop, a local gift shop, you don't need the same kind of website. Instead, you need the kind of website that you might get with a local search campaign, where they
mm-hmm.
give you a page and a map and directions and a brief description and a phone number, you see.
And if your business is more driven by the Internet, let's say someone sells consumer products and their business is generally, you know, 60-70% website driven.
Uh-huh.
And something like that, would that be sort of more of a specific valuable recommendation about an email newsletter, if that
yes.
many of the sales are coming through the Internet?
Well, what you want to do is you want to have a customer relations program, a customer rewards program even, so that anyone who's bought through your site is induced to return.
Mm-hmm.
If you've ever bought anything from Target or Pottery Barn online, you have seen these programs in action.
Mm-hmm.
They ask if you'd like to sign up for
right.
What you might call an e-newsletter, but for them it's more of discounts, promotions, catalogs online. They ask if you want to receive information online from them. And if you say yes, then you're automatically a part of the customer reward program and you purchase. So you're going to get an email about every other week that's
mm-hmm.
going to show new products, sales, giving people the inside scoop. Now, particularly other women, if you're marketing to other women, women who are particularly short on time, and they are very interested in signing up for programs that give them advanced information on discounts, sales, where they can buy something that
right.
they are already, the kind of thing they're already buying, but they can do better
mm-hmm.
at buying it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, you want to sign people up on your website. You want to be able to get permission to send them information, because the one thing you don't want to ever do is send anyone an email who has not agreed to receive email from you. For example, I have a webinar series that I have launched that is, the next one is November 7th, and that is based on the book. It's a series of 6 webinars that people can listen to their and they can see on the Internet and listen to on their phones, and they basically can get a workshop or a seminar from me without having to travel and without me having to travel. And what we're doing is we're sending out emails, for example. My company's got a list of people who want to receive emails from us who are very excited to get information about the webinar. So people come to our site, smallbusinessnow.com, they sign up, they get on the list, and then they'll get emails from us. Now, our partners, Entrepreneur and Intercall, which is a leading web conferencing provider, they also have these permission-based lists of people. So about 135,000 people will get our emails prior to each of the webinars. But every one of those people will have said, I want to get this kind of information. And
right, so it's just not spam.
Not only is it not spam, but and that isn't even my concern. We don't want to spam anybody, but the reason I'm telling you this is because there is so much spam on the Internet. People only open things from recognized senders and with content that they feel is going to be beneficial to them. So if you don't have permission to email to anybody, then chances are your open rate is going to be abysmal.
Mm-hmm.
So you use your website, get people to sign up for good reason, because they visited the site, they want more information of the same, or they've purchased something from you and they'd like more information, they'd like more product information or service information. And then you can communicate with them as often as up to about every other week.
So the sort of time and money thing, when you're talking about sales and marketing, I was listening to your description of the distinction between the two.
Uh-huh.
And would this be a fair analogy? Tell me if not. I'm just trying to think of an analogy to kind of, because they're so closely related, it seems.
Well, they're very different, though.
And that's kind of why this analogy kind of comes to my mind, and you can tell me it's an awful analogy, but and that would be fine. But I'm thinking about like an automobile, and the sales is kind of like the gas that goes into it, and the marketing is like the oil. They're very, very different, but at the same time, they're both necessary. But the gas is kind of the one-on-one. You stick it in there, you have a certain amount of miles that you can travel, but you need the oil, as you mentioned earlier, to kind of keep everything warm and keep everything lubricated.
Okay, that sounds like a good one.
Does it really? Okay, I'm just trying to sort of draw... I sort of think in word pictures sometimes to kind of draw distinctions that aren't second nature to me, and that one really isn't. That's why I was asking. Maybe it's not second nature to others as well. And I know your book has a chapter on marketing, specifically a website, which covers some of the topics that you just talked about in terms of setting up and building an opt-in list and setting up low-cost email promotion.
Yes, the first three chapters deal with online marketing, picking the right domain name, creating the right kind of content, using e-commerce, setting up a database, and things that people really need to know, like paid search and optimizing their site. Even a blog is touched on because it's so very important. Now, of course, there are 12 chapters, and the last chapter is about how to put it all together and how to combine sales with marketing. And I think... That is really very important, and how to create your own marketing program using the tactics in the book. Because, again, it's not just helpful to tell people, here's what you could do, I think it's important to tell people, here's what to do with all this information, here's how to put it to work for you.
Right, and it sounds like having that chapter at the end there kind of gives people the ability, really the tools to kind of put something together that can be sort of almost done so regularly that you just kind of, it's like automatic. It's like putting a needle on the record, and you don't really have to think about it.
Yes, it should be.
On a regular basis, unless you're revamping it. And when you talk about time being so valuable, I would imagine that having that kind of put it all together information really saves you time, which, as you said, is money.
Yes, it's essential that your marketing effort uses a solid mix of tactics, and it also has to communicate an integrated message across what are called multiple channels. For example, I have 33 businesses that are profiled in Maximum Marketing, all case histories, so that you can really see for almost all of the major tactics how businesses are using them, which kinds of businesses are using them, and why. So, for example, there's a company called Dance Distributors that does an affordable line of dance supplies by catalog, by email, using place-based advertising in dance studios, using magazine advertising. Whereas on the other hand, there's a single site called HoustonConnect.com, which is huge in Houston and in several other cities in Texas and other cities outside of Texas as well, that uses outdoor advertising, events, radio promotion, and paid search in order to drive people to the site and get them to join. So you need an integrated approach.
Those stories are so, so valuable. I'm so glad you mentioned that, because that's another reason why the book is so great, having those kinds of stories. We're going to take our last break today. We are here with Kim Gordon, author of Maximum Dollars, Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars. You can call your question or comment in today live on our toll-free number, 800-773-0355. This is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the last segment of the Lifestyle CEO Show today. We are here with Kim Gordon, author of Maximum Marketing, Minimum Dollars. This is a great book, guys. If you haven't gotten your hands on it, head on over to Amazon.com and check it out. You can also go to smallbusinessnow.com, which is Kim's website, and you can not only get information about the book there and order your copy there, but you can also get some of her free articles that she's written, that she's put up on the website, so that people can get some great marketing help. And also, she's got a series of webinars coming up, which actually I think may have already started, but it's not too late to sign up. Kim, why don't you tell us a little bit about the webinars and what people can expect from those?
Sure. They're like seminars, only online. It's fantastic. You know, I used to travel all over the country constantly, and I guess you're probably aware of how challenging business travel has become these days. Between the heightened security and what you can take, what you can't take, what you can check, what you can't check, it has become a full day to get anywhere, and then you speak the next day, and then you travel a full day back. And for the people who are attending the conferences, it's no easier. So a lot of people are transitioning to the web, and the webinars are fantastic because they allow you to present this great PowerPoint presentation, which people see. Then they hear you either over your computer speakers or by phone. They can dial in on the phone. And then they send us email questions. So I have an associate monitoring the email questions, and I answer those in the last 20 minutes. So aside from the fact that I'm not standing in front of you in a room physically together, otherwise, it's a very, very live seminar opportunity, and we have a lot about it on our site, smallbusinessnow.com, and people can find out there. The workshops are very inexpensive, and if you sign up for the workshop, you get a free copy of the book, Maximum Marketing Minimum Dollars, which you know is $18.95, so that's quite a deal. And essentially, we're covering some of the hottest topics that people want to know about. All different kinds of marketing, low-cost or no-cost marketing, online tactics, customer relations, customer rewards, everything from cable TV, radio, magazines, newspapers, place-based media, integrated marketing, innovative marketing, things that you may not have heard of or thought about, we're going to be covering. Because the idea is to give people enough tactics that they can make work for their own business regardless of their size or their budget.
Right, and it sounds like what a welcome idea and theme that there are so many options to choose from. I want to let you guys know that you can call your question or comment in to Kim at 800-773-0355. You can also email a comment in to DM for Donna Maria, DM at lifestyleceo.com if you can't get to the phone to call your question in for some reason. Kim, you mentioned a minute ago when you were talking about the items covered in your webinars, place-based media. What is that?
Oh, what a fun topic to talk about. Great idea. Place-based media is what you see everywhere around you when you leave your house. There's a category of marketing that's huge. It's a huge industry. It's called out-of-home marketing. And that is anything that gets you when you're not in your house. So, you know, everything from old-fashioned skywriting and billboards and bus shelters and bike racks and taxi tops and shopping cart returns and the receipts on the back of the supermarket, the ads on the back of supermarket receipts. These are all place-based media. So are the new names on hiking trails, logos at the bottom of community swimming pools, the rack brochures for heartworm and flea stuff that come in informational brochures in your veterinarian's office. I mean, these are all place-based media, and they're everywhere. You've got posters above baby changing, diaper changing stations and restrooms. You have posters in public and restrooms in restaurants and bars, to some really sophisticated stuff like signage on the hospitality carts that cruise golf courses. You've got dogs called canine billboards walking through big cities with little billboards on them because people love to look at dogs.
It's funny. There's those stories when people started wearing logos on their heads and stuff. And, you know, I was on an airplane last week, and I flipped down my tray table, and there was an ad for a television show pasted onto the tray table. And my people in my row and I kind of looked at each other and went, well, now that's new. They must be, you know, they must be really having a hard time getting our attention. But you're right. It's so everywhere. So in terms of media, though, Kim, just generally, would you say that one of the best ways to reach people and maybe even the most underused for small businesses is some kind of media outreach?
Well, media by its nature reaches out, media outreach. Can you elaborate on what you mean?
Yes, I can, and I guess maybe I probably work, for the most part, with smaller businesses than you, but one of the things that I see the most potential for that is the least exploited or used with small businesses is various different types of media outlets. I mean, one we just talked about, place-based marketing, but also, pitching your product or pitching your expertise or whatever to a media outlet on your own. I mean, there are so many of them. There's online outlets. There's cable TV. There's broadcast TV. There's radio shows. There's radio shows like this, even just internet radio shows. There are so many places where people are either speaking for the institutionalized media or just, I mean, even blogs nowadays. I read an article in the paper this morning about a guy who thought he was going to be the next millionaire racking up dollars flipping houses, and it turned out that, you know, he ultimately went broke doing it, so he started a website called iminforeclosure.com, and it's basically a blog, and he's getting all this media attention from that. So he's like on the front page of the money section of USA Today. So I guess I'm mentioning that and wondering what your take is on small businesses using that kind of creativity to get attention for what they're doing.
There's a lot of information in Maximum Marketing on various tactics, media relations, how to create a media relations program. And that would be identifying key journalists and tailoring your message to the journalist or the media outlet, and then sending them the information, following up by phone, and creating relationships. Media relations is a very helpful, low-cost tactic no matter how big or how small your business may be, and I have some case histories that show how that's been used. Other ways of reaching out, of course, to the public, as you mentioned, is online. You can create a community on your website. You can create a blog. And you can also use buzz marketing. There was, for example, there was a restaurant in the Mission District let's just say, I don't even need to tell you where it is exactly, but there was a restaurant out in California that had, I don't want them to be overwhelmed with calls of people, how do you do that? But anyway, that had a contest for anyone who got tattooed with their logo, Jimmy the Flaming Corn Man logo, would get lunch for life. Well, wouldn't you know it, 39 crazy people got tattooed with the Jimmy the Corn Man logo because it was fueled by the local radio station DJ who picked up on this idea, went in and got tattooed. Everybody in town wanted to be tattooed. Next thing they know, they're on they're in USA Today. They're on a couple of TV networks. And it's all it cost them was burritos for life for about 30-some people, and they got national attention out of it. So there are lots of ways, and I describe them in the book, that you can reach out without spending a lot of money.
Well, that I love that story because it just shows that what you said earlier, it absolutely brings us full circle in terms of how you started this conversation in terms of marketing and sales, and that is that I think you said, I guarantee you that no matter what kind of business you have, there are some low-cost initiatives that you can use to grow it.
That's right. It doesn't matter what your budget is. There are tactics that you can use.
It sounds like at least half the battle is just being creative.
Half the battle is understanding what tactics to use. And you have to also understand how to use them properly. Once you've got that, it's a question of being creative and figuring out how to make them work for your company. For example, some people will say, well, I can't afford direct mail. And I'll say to them, but if you have a certain kind of business, you may be able to use marriage mail, for example. That's, everyone has seen Valpak. That's marriage mail. That's where your coupon is sent in an envelope with coupons from other companies. And there's a company that in the book Lafayette Tire and Service that has used that beautifully. You may also have the kind of business where you need to reach, you're in a fairly small town, but there's a Cineplex, and you want to reach the people who go to the movies. You can do slides on the screen through Screen Vision Direct. You can do cinema advertising, Gymkhana in Gymnastics in Pittsburgh, Women's Integrated Health Care in Grapevine, Texas. They're both case histories in the book of companies that are using cinema advertising for about $25 per screen. So if they're spending about $1,000 a month, and yet they're reaching just about everybody in town because everybody goes to the movies. And then you have other things like experiential marketing, which is a fancy term for just bringing your best prospects up close and giving them a one-on-one experience with your product or brand. One handbag designer had no money. She had her handbags made in China. She got one load in, and then she started having home parties. So she had them hosted by stay-at-home moms, and pretty soon, in a few years, she had a $10 million business because she was able to use that tactic well. It isn't so much just knowing what tactic to use, it's how to use it well. I have a client right now, a coaching client who's been with me for a number of years, who is using experiential marketing. She sells video equipment and so on and tape media, and she is now, with my direction, using experiential marketing to bring people in her two primary market areas to events that she's orchestrating so that they can see the high-level kinds of equipment her company can offer. So she's giving them a one-on-one experience with products that she represents, but at the same time, creating the impression that her company is the best conduit to these products. So that you can use a variety of tactics. As you know, there are 50 of them in the book.
It's just so wonderful to know that there's a book out there that kind of offers this kind of expertise. not just in sort of overview format, but in, you know, more specifics that people can actually apply to themselves. And, of course, it's extremely valuable to have those case studies in there because so many people learn from other people's experiences. So
yes.
I'm glad you mentioned that, too. I want you guys to know that if you'd like more of Kim Gordon, and unfortunately the show's just about over, but I can't get enough of what she's saying, you should visit smallbusinessnow.com, which is your site for small business success. Kim Gordon, again, has her new book there. You can sign up for her marketing, Maximum Marketing webinar series. The next one is coming up on November 7th, and there's other ones after that. And remember, the book comes with the series, so you can get as much information as you need between now and the end of the year to make 2007 kickoff with a whole new marketing program. Kim, thank you so much for joining.
You're very welcome. It was my pleasure, Donna Marie. We could go talking for hours.
I know. And I know the show engineer is always cutting me off, sending me mad emails saying, you have to stop now. But thank you so much for sharing. I know that this conversation has helped so many other people, and I know they'll be checking out your website and getting their hands on your book, too.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
You guys, I want to close today with kind of a little thought that I have. I was reading the paper last week, and I noticed that there was a story on a network which is reducing its sitcoms and sort of comedy shows during the 8 to 9 o'clock hour in favor of a bunch of reality television shows that are easy to produce and don't cost any money. These are shows where your fellow neighbors come in and they either win $1 million or they lose $1 million. And essentially the show involves an audience with a person who is playing the game, or maybe more than one person, a few people who are playing the game. And they come on and they win or lose some money. And I guess it's kind of exciting to see people win and lose money, and you have the emotional interaction with them and their reactions and stuff. But of course, the networks pay someone to have one set created, and they also pay a show host. But if you compare that cost to the cost of what they spend on a sitcom, for example, where they have to pay several media personalities, actors and actresses, and they also have to pay set designers and stuff like that, they've decided to go ahead and replace a lot of those shows with some of these reality shows. And I just read that and I thought, well, they just don't value our time at all. And I just wanted to issue a challenge to everyone. From 8 to 9 o'clock, what are you doing? How are you spending that time? The networks want you to spend it watching their inexpensive reality television. But, of course, this is the same network which, by the way, is laying off a bunch of people in their news department so that they can focus more on inexpensive reality television. What are you doing during that hour? Are you going to listen to the networks and kind of buy into the idea that this is what you're supposed to be doing for an hour every day? Or perhaps you can avoid some of the economic trials and tribulations that so many of us are encountering by starting a business of your own. If you spend an hour a day on a business of your own, at the end of the year, you've spent 365 hours doing something for yourself and your family, not spending it watching someone else win or lose $1 million. So take a look at what you're doing with your time. Spend it well. Redeem the time well. I hope you'll join me next week when the Business Buddha will be here to share some of her insights on how we can make our businesses dovetail with what our spiritual beliefs are, and also be successful doing things that actually enlighten our lives and make our lives more valuable as we also generate income. I hope you'll join me for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. In the meantime, break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. I'll see you next week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.